waiting till after church to unwrap presents, so I've got to keep it, you know, to the point. And a greeting to everybody who's watching online as well, and I hope you're blessed this morning. If you are visiting with us, we don't anymore do the whole offering bag thing like we used to do pre-COVID, but we are taking up an offering today, a special offering that goes to the Baptist Union of South Africa. We're a member church of the Baptist Union, and this year we're blessing the Retired Pastors and Wives Fund. So if you are, you feel led to give, there's a little blue tub on the way out, and you're welcome to pop something in there. For those watching online, if you'd like to make a donation to that fund, please just, you can find all of our details on our website, and you can go through that channel. But we want to give some Christmas cheer where we can as well. And then for the kids, Auntie Janine's got something at the back for you if you want to go and grab it and to keep you busy during this long and boring sermon. She's standing right at the back there, kiddos. You can go grab it. Go for it. Go for it. It's not a trick. It's not a trick. I promise. Go for it. And then you can come grab it, and you can come back and sit with your moms and dads. All right. Wasn't that kid's story fantastic? It reminded me of a Christmas. Gee, it must have been 30 years ago. And we had gone to visit friends that we didn't see very often, some weeks before Christmas, probably even a month or two before Christmas. And they had kindly enough given us a Christmas gift. But they gave it to my parents in front of us. So let's say it was sort of mid-November. They gave my parents this gift, and it was wrapped up. It wasn't nice and square like most gifts are. This was triangular. And we saw this gift being given, and I remember even on the car ride on the way home, myself, my brother, my sister, just looking at this gift, this triangular gift, and trying to imagine, trying to fathom what this could possibly be. And for weeks leading up to Christmas, we would just sometimes go and look at the gift, you know, just try and guess, what on earth is this? We touched it, we held it, we shook it, couldn't figure out for the life of us what on earth this could be. And so when Christmas eventually rolled around, you know, we had all these other big and more impressive looking gifts under the tree, but that's the one we all gunned to, and it was addressed to all three of us as kids. And we just went straight for this thing and ripped open the wrapping, and it was clothes hangers. And I've been thinking, actually, I probably still have those clothes hangers in my cupboard. They've lasted a long time. It was actually a really kind and thoughtful gift, but it smashed our hearts to pieces. We were disappointed that Christmas, to say the least. And I wonder if anyone here today, anybody watching online, you find yourself today disappointed. You're suffering with a little bit of disappointment this Christmas. I remember last Christmas, I think I even said so in the sermon, that my hope was Christmas 2021 would be a mask-free Christmas and a full church, and we'd be able to hug and kiss and count on like usual. And I'm a little bit disappointed, to be honest, that we don't have that freedom yet. But I know there are many other households in our church community and family that are dealing with very, very deep disappointment. That they're not able to be with family. They could not travel for various reasons to be together like they had hoped to be. I know there are families that are disappointed and that are struggling because there's an empty seat at the table where last year there was a person there. There are some who are struggling with disappointment because they didn't get the job or the promotion or the raise that they were hoping for this year, or whatever the breakthrough that they were longing for. Some who are disappointed because their health has taken a downward turn. And their relationships, perhaps their marriage or other key relationships in their lives, are not going well. And if you can relate to any of that kind of disappointment, what are you doing with your disappointment? How do you deal with that heartache, with that frustration? Well, I want to speak today about a man who I think was familiar with that kind of a disappointment, especially around Christmas time. The first Christmas would have rocked his world. He is an ever-present figure in all of our nativity scenes. We see him there, but he never says anything. And even in the Bible, there's nothing recorded from the lips of Joseph. the earthly father of Jesus, but his life is an amazing picture and encouragement to us. And I want to read just a couple of verses that talk about Joseph. There are only a few passages that mention him, but his impact is massive. So from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, tells us this about the Christmas story. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, or engaged, in other words, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, why do I say that I think Joseph was familiar with disappointment? Put yourself in his shoes for a moment. This is a good man. The Bible calls him a just man or a righteous man, and the Bible doesn't throw that term out to just everybody. He had honored the Lord throughout his life, and that would have been including his relationship with Mary, whom he intended to marry. This man had waited for this. He had been preparing his whole life, and now he'd found the girl. And I'm sure his plan was to settle down, to now build his career, and to live his life in relative peace. All of that is shattered in an instant when his fiance comes and tells him, Joseph, I'm pregnant. And being a just, righteous man, his plan is to divorce her quietly or to kind of call off the marriage so he doesn't shame her or put her in kind of mortal danger. She could well have been stoned if somebody decided to take issue with her. And his heart must have been broken. Never mind the impact that it would have on his reputation, on his career, and all of these other ramifications. Surely there was disappointment. And even when the angel explains everything to him, surely Joseph is there and saying, this is not the life that I had planned. This is not what I had hoped for. This is not where I wanted to be. And we would have understood if Joseph had become bitter. Now I've got to wait even longer to be with this wife of mine. Now I've got to raise a child that's not even my own. But instead of bitterness, instead of resigning himself in that sort of way, Joseph does something more. He resolves to honor and obey God, even in this situation. He decides to honor and obey God. And he becomes a great husband to Mary and a great father to Jesus. Because it was Joseph, by the way, who had to teach baby Jesus to walk and to talk and to read. It was Joseph who changed baby Jesus' nappies. Think about that for a second. It was Joseph who had to go and work to put food on the table to raise this young man. And more so, it was Joseph who had to make tough decisions in leading his family. At one point when they had to flee, they had to immigrate to Egypt. Nobody immigrates to Egypt. Good people came out of Egypt. But Joseph and his family had to go into Egypt, and then when they came out of Egypt, had to go and live in a dead-end town called Nazareth. And there was a saying about Nazareth that no good thing can come out of Nazareth. That's where God decided they ought to live. Joseph's life was tough. His calling, his ministry was tough. But he resolved to obey God in all of these things. And his obedience and his faith, his honorable and godly leadership is an example to all of us, particularly as husbands and dads, by the way. You might not have landed yourself in the perfect position in life, but you have a responsibility to step up and lead anyway. And Joseph did that, and he leaves a legacy for us. I wonder if he ever grasped, ever, just the amazing compliment that God actually paid him by putting him in this position. Joseph, I trust you with my son. You will have, as parents, a few people in your life, and it's probably a very small list of people that you will trust with your children. Unless you're the whole thousands, they'll let anyone take them. God trusts his son to Joseph. And Joseph does a great job raising him. And we would look at Joseph and call him blessed, although I don't know that Joseph all the time would have felt that. But his model, his life is a model of obedience, an example to us, and it was an example to Jesus himself. Jesus learned what a good man looks like by following his dad. And I think it shows in the way that Jesus lived his life that Jesus also would resolve to honor and obey God in less than ideal situations. And the one that comes to mind for me is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as his heavenly Father calls him to follow and obey, to be obedient even to the point of death, death on a cross. And yet Jesus says, not my will but yours be done. If you can take this cup away from me, please do so, but not my will, yours be done. He resolves to be obedient. He learned that resolution. He learned that obedience from Joseph. How will you respond this year if your Christmas is less than ideal? If there are a couple of disappointing factors around that, will you kind of wallow in pity, self-pity, disappointment? Will you allow that to get you down? Or will you, like Joseph, resolve to honor and please God no matter what? Last night, just got a reminder of what it means to have this kind of resolution. There is a missionary that we support as a church. His name is Paul Richardson. I want to honor him in a special way this morning. Paul works on his own in the inner city of Durban and has been for many years. And he's now taken a good, well-deserved leave. And he disappears down for a couple of weeks into the mountains out near Kokstad. But this year, his holiday was cut short in a horrible way. He had to get rushed into hospital in Kokstad and was kind of left there as there were no doctors available to see him. And eventually, after days of suffering, was ambulanced all the way back to Durban and was operated on yesterday. And he's been keeping a few of us as his prayer partners in the loop on what's going on. But he sent me a message, sent us as his prayer partners a message last night after all that's been happening over the last week. He's exhausted. He's in a lot of pain and discomfort, but he sent us this message. He said, from his hospital bed, I'll be here until Sunday or Monday, so it will be my first Christmas ever in hospital. Although it could be seen as a sad thing, I've been thinking it could be my best Christmas ever. And his resolution is this. He goes on to explain, here's what I'm going to do on Christmas morning. I'm going to, from my hospital bed, I'm going to pray for all of my friends in ministry who will be preaching the gospel on Christmas morning. I'm going to pray for you all. I'm going to pray for myself that I will have a fresh encounter with God right here. And I'm going to share the gospel with every single person that I get to meet on Christmas morning. I thought that was just the most amazing resolution to make in less than ideal situations. So for those families, maybe represented here, and many who are watching at home, and I know some who are watching from hospital beds, or some who are watching in isolation as well. I know it's not what you planned. I know it's not what you hoped for. But I think if you resolve to seek God's face, to honor and obey today, you will experience his goodness and faithfulness. He will open your eyes to something new today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder of a real person here in Joseph. the example that he sets for us. Because the truth is, Lord, that none of us have perfect, ideal lives. We all have hardships. We all have burdens that we carry, uncertainties that we're facing, loss that we are grieving. We don't this Christmas, Lord, want to put those things aside, but we want to bring those to the table and ask that you meet us at our points of need. For those that feel sad and alone, Lord God, remind us of your presence. For those who are uncertain and afraid, Lord, remind us of your sovereignty. For those who are struggling with things like unforgiveness and frustration and anger and bitterness, Lord, remind us of your great love and grace to us. And in a way, perhaps that we didn't expect, may this be the best Christmas day. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Won't you stand with